keeps most people up at night? It's not politics. It's money. Dave Ramsey helps you take control of it, one decision at a time. Real callers, real situations, and straight talk about getting out of debt, building wealth, and finally telling your money where to go.
Where to go.
Instead of wondering where it went.
Where it went.
Dave Ramsey, weeknights 7 to 10 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative,
local,
dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us right now, we have our senator from the great state of Florida, Rick Scott, former governor, of course, also a Navy veteran that may become relevant in the course of this conversation. Senator, welcome back to the show, sir.
It's always great to be with you. So I bet the weather is better.
I'll take ours over yours for sure, 100%. Obviously, we're going to talk about the Iran war and the Save America Act, but I did want to start with two somewhat smaller things only because I want to make sure we get them in, and I know my habit is they won't get in if I don't make them happen at the beginning. The first one is daylight saving time. Ever since the legislature passed this to go to universal daylight time and not go back to standard time in the winter, we've never had a supporter in the House. You and Ashley Moody and before her Marco Rubio were on board with this. I think Jimmy Patronis is also on board with this. Are we actually going to get this as a bill that states that want to go to universal daylight time will be able to do it?
I'm hopeful. You know, the thing that's going to help us is as states do what Florida did to say they want to go to daylight saving time when the federal law changes. So I think I'm going to keep pushing it. I do it every year. I know Ashley Moody is going to be a good partner on this. Jimmy Patronis says, but I haven't. The hard thing is, I think if I could get a vote, it would pass. So far it's been able to be blocked. As more and more states do this, and they're doing it every day, it's going to make it hard for people up here to block it.
It makes sense. If you get enough, build a coalition based on the states that have taken the kind of action that Florida has done. The other thing I wanted to make sure we got in is the Service Academy nominations. They are open now. So if people want to go to the Navy Academy or the Air Force Academy, this is the time for them to apply to your office, right?
Yep. Go to rickscott.senate.gov. Then you hit nominations and you apply. We probably have more applicants in our state than any state in the country. We'll have 800 applicants. I get to nominate 15 people for each of the academies. It is a life changer. The other thing is when you interview these individuals, these young men and women, you feel really good about the future of your country. But anybody that wants any high school senior or anybody, even if you want to start over again, if you're in college, we'd love to get your nomination because we want the best. We want the reason our kids typically get in is because we have so many people apply. So we have outstanding individuals. Some House and Senate members don't put the effort into it that we do. And so by doing that, we get really good people.
Oh, that's an interesting point, given the size of the state and the number of applications, you can vet them more heavily and have more qualified. That makes sense. It's a numbers game. Let's talk a little bit about the Save America Act. It's so fascinating because as somebody who thinks that having an ID to prove that you're a citizen to vote seems like a real no-brainer compared to the things that we require people to have IDs for that are completely nowhere near that level of importance. But, of course, the other side has been saying that somehow married women with married names won't be able to figure this out or that, poor people won't be able to have IDs.
Lie.
And I've said, hey, I'll do this. Let's make an ID free. We do a lot of free IDs in Florida. I don't mind giving everybody a free ID and let's just make sure that they're citizens before they vote.
Yeah. People have IDs. I mean, this is just the Democrats, want fraud. I've been up here 7 years, and this is the most popular thing other than maybe daylight savings time. There's nowhere I go in Florida, but the first thing people say is, how are we going to get the Save America Act pass. So we're working on it every day. So here's our pass. It's a simple bill. You have to have an ID to vote. That's pretty simple. You have to have an ID for almost everything else in life. And then you have to show your American citizen to register to vote. Pretty basic. So it's over like 83% of Americans want it. Republicans, Democrats, Independent, it's really popular. So here's our choices. One, we got to get 60 votes. That'd be the easiest way. So I tell our people, call every Republican and Democrat in the Senate and tell them how important this is to you. Let people know how important it is. That's number one. Number two, maybe we can attach it to a must-pass bill like maybe a defense supplemental. Maybe it was Homeland Security funding it's not being funded. Maybe it's FISA reauthorization, something like that. Number three is to do the talking filibuster, which the last time this was really used was the Civil Rights Act. But it's a possibility. We don't have enough votes yet in the Senate to do that. So we're continuing to have meetings to explain to people how it would work. But, this is the most important thing we can pass. If we can't secure elections, then the rest of it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it seems like a very simple thing. And the arguments on the other side, even though I try to take them seriously, I find them, incredibly lacking. So I hope so. And, we've seen John Thune say that he, might be willing to, change his mind on the filibuster for this particular one. Even the president's threatening that he won't sign any bills until this one gets signed. He's doing what you said, attach it to a must-pass bill. If you want me to sign something, pass this, I'll sign this, and then we can talk about other stuff. We're talking to Senator Rick Scott. Senator, hang on for just a second. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Highway 97 at Effie Lane in Molino. They're saying the roadway is blocked. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Senator Rick Scott. Obviously, the huge ongoing news right now is Iran. I have said we were completely justified in doing this. We would have been justified in doing this any time in the history of the current regime in Iran. They are a threat to us, to their neighbors, to the region, nuclear ambitions, all of that. I'm completely on board with the justification for the war and our way of doing it. My concerns have to do with, and what next, and when next? We're what, 14 days into a 60-day war powers. Do you expect there to be a vote on authorization for the use of force in AUMF for this action? Because if we get to the end of the 60 days, I mean, that's it, right?
No. Every president has been clear. They have the right to use military force without a form of declaration of war. So now the only thing that Congress actually can do is decide if they don't want to fund it. So at the time if Congress decides they don't want to fund what the president's doing, that's the only way. The president has the right to do this. This is every president since Truman has said he has a right. So no, we do not have to have a authorization of force. The president's right to do this, by the way, he had to do it because of where we are. Obama and Biden appeased. Obama gave him cash. They had the uranium to get to a nuclear weapon. So it was a matter of time before we'd been attacked on our homeland. On top of that, they were building 100 ballistic missiles a month. And at some point, they were going to overwhelm our troops and our ally Israel. So Trump is doing the right thing. And our military, thank God for our military, they've done a great job. But, fixing the Strait of Hormuz, getting rid of the mines is going to be hard. That means we're going to have higher gas prices during this conflict. But after that, if the right thing happens, that we get a new regime, and with the oil coming from Venezuela, we'll actually see much lower gas prices. Your heart goes out to the families that lost their loved ones, including Cody Cork in Florida, and the 140 plus people that have been injured. It sounds like all those are minor, but I hope they have a full recovery. But we need to pray for our military, people are willing to put on the uniform and defend our freedom. So I think this is going to be, it's going to take longer than we think, but Trump doesn't want a forever war. We're not going to have a forever war, but we're going to have to continue to see a barrage of drone attacks. As Ukraine has proven, you probably don't win a war with drones, but you can sure cause a lot of damage.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to deal with that. But Trump did the right thing. We need to support him.
The couple of questions that I have, especially after the most recent press conference that General Kane did with Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, he said that the goal of the war is to eradicate their ability to use, you know, to get rid of their drone and missile capability. Check, I'm on board with that. To destroy their Navy, because that's also projection of power, abuse of their authority, and, you know, harming shipping. Check, I'm on board with that. But then he said the goal is to make it impossible for them to rebuild or reconstitute the Navy, the drones, and the missile capability. And that, to me, sounds an awful lot like the Morgenthau Doctrine, you know, from World War II. Like, make Germany a farming community, basically take away their industrial capacity. That is a huge objective. I don't disagree with the importance of it, because if they're going to continually use machine tools and supply chains and energy and metallurgy and technology to rebuild the factory, basically. But that is, I don't know how you do that with just air power or how you do that for the long term. So what's your theory about how we accomplish something that makes it so they can't keep rebuilding drones and missiles in the future?
Well, I think they do plan on just absolutely destroying their ability through destroying their industrial base. I think they're just going to continue to use the gravity bombs and just keep destroying every capacity they have. And then I know Israel wants regime change, and I think Israel is going to continue down the path of destroying their leadership. I haven't seen a classified briefing on this, but there's reports that the new Ayatollah is already injured, but we'll see if that's true or not. You hate death, but this guy his father has been part of killing so many Americans. They've been killing us for decades.
No, totally agree. Yeah.
So
they've been at war with us for 47 years, and we're finally participating. I completely agree. The question is, you know, do you think the people are capable of forming the sort of, you know, democratic republic, a place that would have individual rights? I know there are people who want to rise up, but when a regime has been that controlled for that long, you know, it's like expecting Cuba to stage a revolution. And they don't have guns. They don't have power. They don't have, I mean, for goodness sakes, they don't have the internet for the last 5 days or whatever. You know, is it realistic to think that the mullahs and the Ayatollah will give up power, that it can be taken from them?
Well, I think that first off, people want freedom. You know, everywhere in the world, people want freedom. Now, is it hard when they've been pushed down like this and they have no weapons? It has. But, you know, the Iranian military has to kill their own brothers and sisters to keep their power. So that's awfully difficult to do long term. So I'm optimistic. I know that the Kurds have an interest, because they've been destroyed by the Ayatollah. So we'll see. I don't think any of this is easy, but I think it's necessary.
Last thing that I wanted to talk with you about is just a little bit, not on this subject exactly, but I know your background. You know, you were in the Navy. You and I were talking before, and I didn't realize what you had done. You worked on radar, you know, back in the day. But I thought you'd find it interesting, given both your age and your Navy connection, the Nimitz is on its last deployment. It's just left Washington the last couple of days. It's going to be deploying to Southcoms, going around South America, and then decommissioning. Basically, it'll be 50 years in service, and it seems like a pretty significant end of an era. Any thoughts on that?
It is. The Nimitz, I remember when it started. It was the class ship. Its abilities were unsurpassed. And so, it's interesting. I'm on armed services, and it's interesting. The world has changed a lot. The way war is going to be fought is changing a lot. The Ukrainians have shown us that that drone technology and drone defense is going to be really important going forward.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to be very cautious about our ability to defend large infrastructure like an aircraft carrier.
Yeah, agreed. And in fact, some of the sort of dispersal of power, you know, sort of destroyer swarms instead of a carrier, you know, the move towards unmanned and even, you know, autonomous aviation.
Yeah.
You know, we're seeing that in the Navy. I've read some really interesting stuff about the future of the carrier for precisely that reason. And, you know, we're now kind of, we're thinking differently about this, right? With, Iran building drone carriers and even threatening a California attack with some kind of, you know, a drone ship or a drone boat or something like that. It absolutely, the high vulnerability of a centralized, you know, mobile airstrip like an aircraft carrier makes you think about the future of what makes sense for the Navy. And you're on Unarmed Sir, you see this stuff all the time, right?
Yeah, I met with the Chiefs of Naval Operations yesterday, and we're just, and one of the things we talked about was the fact that, I mean, the next, you know, the war, and even we're learning them with this one, we've got to focus on things that we're going to be able to take out drones without expensive missile defense systems.
Right.
So, because it's so cheap to build something, and they can swarm you. So there's a good book called I've read a few years ago called The Kill Chain, and it's this idea that, you know, through this drone technology, they can swarm some of our best defenses, and so we've got to be prepared for that.
Yeah, your Sea Whiz can do a lot, but it can't do everything. There are limits for sure. Rick Scott, he is our senator from the great state of Florida. Senator, as always, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for the service. I hope you get back to Florida real soon and can enjoy the warm weather instead of being stuck in D.C., although we're supposed to get cold weather on Monday, so be careful what you wish for. Senator, thank you for the time. I appreciate it.
Hey, Andrew. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You bet. 725 here on News Radio 92.3. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash, Highway 97 at F.E. Lane in Molino. They're saying the roadway is blocked there. Also, another vehicle crash with injuries, County Road 197A at Chemuckle Highway in Milton. Roadway's clear. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
You know, sometimes things are cheap, and that appeals to us because they're cheap. But, you know, things are usually cheap for a reason, you know, because you get what you pay for to some degree. Well, that's also true, and true nowhere more so than when it comes to a mattress. You know, you might think, well, I can get that cheap mattress, but okay, how long will it hold up? How well will it comfort you? Will it be refreshing to sleep on? Is that really doing the best by your back and your muscles and your, you know, need to get rest? Well, at the Sleep Center, they have affordable mattresses, but, you know, sometimes you're going to have to pay a little bit to get something worth having, and they know that. That's why they've been around for 30 years, and they try to educate you and teach you about what is the new technology, and they do the space foam. You know, it's amazing. NASA patented. They're the only ones who are able to use that as the, you know, company they represent. But you and your particular body is the key, and learning about that, because not everybody wants the same bed, and that's important. You know, not the same firmness, not the same level of support, not the same level of pressure point relief, all of that kind of stuff. And that's why you go get a good education. Now, if you want to go there and just look at tags and shop for yourself and lay down and things and see what you like, they'll leave you alone. No problem. There's no commission, so you're not going to get pestered by the salespeople. But the short point is this. If you know you need a good mattress and you've been putting it off, go to the Sleep Center on the north side of Creighton, just east of Davis Highway.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years. How do you know when to buy or sell? You'll need an expert to help you. Tune into the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Leavenworth Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
The Bible is truly the most amazing book ever written. Its words are not just inspirational, but are inspired by God. It's the only book that is completely error-free from cover to cover. The 66 books, the 1,189 chapters, are a love letter from God to you. The single storyline of redemption was penned by 40 different human authors, each one guided by the divine Holy Spirit. Joshua 1:8 encourages us to meditate on the Word of God day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Ladies and gentlemen, I encourage you to take time today to read your Bible.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate, managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Do you have questions regarding your plants and landscaping? If so, the Garden Line is for you. I am Mike Wiggins, and every Tuesday morning at 9, we are here for you on News Radio 92.3 to answer your questions. Seasonal changes call for different activities in your lawn and garden, so tune in and text or call with your questions on the Garden Line on Tuesdays at 9 and an encore each Saturday at the same time.
The Garden Line on the Pensacola Expert Panel, Tuesdays at 9 on News Radio 92.3.
Something important happens.
You don't have time to wait.
Breaking news lives here.
Here.
On News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
Let's see what's out there. Engage.
Right now, everything sucks. I can't express the things I want. I got to play.
Oh man, I have become more and more a fan of Weezer as I've been listening to more of their albums. Great musicianship. 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. That particular lyric may not be your favorite. That's okay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David.
I've got to agree. Weezer had some great stuff.
He did. Really did.
Senator John Fetterman calling on Israel to assassinate Iran's new Ayatollah. The Pennsylvania Democrat appeared on News Nation Wednesday. He was asked about Mojtaba Khomeini, who'd been selected to take over as Ayatollah after his father was killed at the start of the war. Fetterman said, quote, they should kill him too, and said the world is better off with the late Ayatollah dead.
Even the Democrats acknowledge that the world is better off with him dead. My over-under was 3 days, and I think I'm right at today, so I might turn out to be wrong about that.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Iran targets the oil industry. The International Energy Agency reporting the conflict is creating the biggest oil supply disruption in world history. Two tankers attacked by Iran.
Tankers on fire as the crews were reportedly evacuated with one person killed.
Fox's Trey Inks in Tel Aviv. Energy Secretary Chris Wright telling Fox's Aisha Hosni U.S. oil reserves will be tapped next week to help lower gas prices. The UN's refugee agency says up to 3.2 million people in Iran have been displaced by the fighting. Some going to Armenia.
We asked him why he decided to leave the country instead of going out on the streets and protesting. Here's what he said. I'm not sure you can protest this regime. They have a religious view. So anybody who protests against them is God's enemy.
That's Fox's Steve Harrigan. And Qatar's defense ministry says it intercepted another missile from Iran. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, it's 7:31. News Radio 92.3, 63 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Our full forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson is on the way here in just a few minutes. Milton Police Chief Jennifer Frank says all 21 officers in her department need to have rifles eventually. Frank talked to the Milton City Council on Tuesday night. She said active shooters can strike anywhere and anytime.
As it stands, if an active shooter incident could happen at 2 o'clock in the morning, could happen at 8 o'clock at night at a basketball game. It could happen at 1:30 in the afternoon in the middle of math class.
And Frank told the city council that they had no rifles for the police department. The council did approve spending up to $5,000 Tuesday to purchase the department's first 4 to 5 of those rifles. The money would come from contraband forfeiture funds that have been seized from drug dealers. A gun manufacturer is selling the rifles to Milton at direct cost. The city will also need to purchase vehicle mounts for secure storage. Four suspects facing multiple felony charges in connection with a diesel fuel theft operation in Santa Rosa County. Investigators say Alicia Perez, Sergio Machine, Sophie Alfarino, and Cediel Carazana used magnets to manipulate fuel pump solenoids that allowed the diesel to be dispensed from semi-pumps without any payment. Surveillance footage, license plate records, and business records linked the suspects to the scheme. All four now face charges of organized fraud, retail fuel theft, and grand theft. A convicted sex offender from Pensacola is facing child pornography charges. A grand jury indicted 33-year-old Donshi Ricky Montrell Foster on possession of obscene material, possession of child pornography, and committing child exploitation crimes as a registered sex offender. He faces a mandatory minimum of 20 years if convicted. His trial's been set for April 6th. He's being held at the Santa Rosa County Jail. Well, Century's town council members are split on how to raise water rates. They've got a vote scheduled about that next week. A financial study says the town has to raise rates to cover six outstanding loans. The council's leaning 3-2 towards a larger immediate increase starting on April 1st that would nearly double their average water bill rather than spreading smaller increases out over 2.5 years. A vote is set for March 17th at 6:15 p.m. Well, a new jobs report out. News Radio's Chris Bryan says Northwest Florida outpaced the national job average.
A new positive study is showing an increase in jobs and wages in Northwest Florida. Florida's Great Northwest Labor Supply and Demand Analysis confirmed over 42,000 jobs were added. That's an 8.7% increase in growth. Additionally, the number of jobs in priority industry sectors grew by 12%. Average wages in the 13-county region rose by nearly 19%. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, a Florida Marine veteran is facing potential deportation after a federal judge rejected his latest bid for citizenship. Paul Canton from Marion County, Florida, came to the U.S. from Australia back in 1988. And he enlisted in the Marines 2 years later, received an honorable discharge after 4 years of service, and believed at that point he was a citizen. He said he even voted in at least 8 elections before learning 6 years ago he was not a citizen. Congressman Randy Fine said he's working with the Trump administration on possible options to keep him in the country. It's 7:35 at News Radio 92.3. And PJ has a look at our traffic on the fives.
Traffic brought to you by Princeton Grove Apartments. Princeton Grove Apartments is a new affordable housing community in Crestview. Introductory rates and no application fee. Resort-style living awaits Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Taking a look at the big board, a vehicle crash at Highway 97 and Effie Lane in Molino. They're still saying the roadway is blocked there. Also, a vehicle crash with injuries, County Road 197A at Chemuckla Highway in Milton. Roadway is clear. And then finally, a vehicle crash North W Street at West Fairfield Drive in Pensacola. Roadway is clear. I'm PJ through traffic on the fives.
We are going to be seeing some breezy weather today with temperatures much cooler. Temperatures around 66 degrees for your high. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 46 degrees. For Friday, sunny skies, high near 67 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 56 degrees. Heading into Saturday, plenty of sunshine, high near 74. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 62. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And we've got 63, partly cloudy. Make that mostly cloudy right now. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Here's a tale of Tina searching up and down for decent GLP-1s, but got spun around.
Till good RX rode in, hey, we got something new. GLP-1 prescriptions all FDA approved.
Brand name meds, no flags that are red.
Clear pricing from the start. None of those hidden fees in your cart.
Delivered to your door or pick up same day. Darn tootin'.
Save time and money on prescriptions.
Hot foot it to goodrx.com/weightloss. GoodRx is not insurance.
Culver's could have only started in Wisconsin. Enjoy goodness from America's Dairyland, like the real Wisconsin cheese on their juicy butter burgers, farm fresh dairy in their frozen custard, made fresh daily at each restaurant, or even their crispy golden Wisconsin cheese curds. Lent is upon us, and Culver's featuring cod, shrimp, and walleye sandwiches and dinners. Culver's, Mobile Highway, Bayou Boulevard, Highway 90 in Milton, and opening in May at Pine Forest and I-10. DoorDash, Uber Eats, and curbside services available. Culver's, welcome to delicious.
Hey, hey, Pensacola pet parents. Got questions about your fur babies? Well, I'm Dr. Mark Sprayberry, owner of Olive Branch Pet Hospital and Play and Stay Boarding and Daycare here in Pensacola. I'd like to invite you to tune in to my new show, Sit, Stay, and Listen, where I'll be answering all your pet questions live on air today, 9:30. See all you cool people then.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
You don't need someone yelling at you.
You just want someone to say what you're already thinking.
That's MVR. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins. They take the biggest stories of the day, cut through the nonsense, and say the quiet part out loud.
The American people have had enough.
Well, except for white women 55 plus.
There are a lot of white women that lean left.
Usually with a little sarcasm.
Thankfully, we know all the sane ones.
MVR. Weekdays 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620. Informative. Local. Dependable.
Bad boys.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Good to have you with us this morning. Joining us now by phone, Mike Wood is out this week. Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon, she is the Assistant Public Information Officer for the Pensacola Police Department and the driver of one of the few sedans that PPD operates. Sergeant, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News.
Hi, thank you.
How do you like the sedan livery? I know when we met and we talked about it one time, you were a big fan. Are you still a big fan?
I guess you're talking about our new cruisers.
Yeah,
so they're good. So far, so good. I mean, it's definitely different. They're lower to the ground and they're fast.
That's what you need, right? That's the essential stuff.
That's right.
This last weekend, you guys had set up the joint command to deal with the McGuire's Run, the cruise ship, and what was the other one? My brain escapes me. There was a third incident. Oh, the Sunbelt Conference. How did that all turn out?
Oh, all very successful. With the unified command and working with the emergency management coordinator, I think it's a successful collaboration. Definitely go into these events a lot more prepared. But it was very good. We had ample security measures, with the run, great fundraising, successful event. I think there were over 10,000 runners. Even some officers ran it. Great for the area, great for business. And, weather was great. Overall, it was all of it was a safe and fun experience.
Did Chief run? I know when I talked to him, I think it was last week or the week before, he had said he might run in it. He wasn't sure if he was going to be able to. Do you know if he ran?
I don't know, but I would be interested to know.
I know. He threatened to take me with him running, and I said, no, that's not going to happen for sure. Definitely not for me. It's kind of interesting that security coordinator position is relatively new for the city, right, within maybe the last year or so, because previously it was always either, like, I know Jenny Craner does your emergency coordination for the city, but this security coordinator position, am I describing it right, that's kind of a new thing, right?
Yeah, the emergency management coordinator, that's the official title, is new, continuing to learn, but I would say it's been successful. The fire chief, took head of that in the past, and I think this is kind of to pass the torch to, keep a focus on safety, do a lot more of the collaboration and the behind-the-scenes work that nobody sees to get people together to discuss safety measures, but so far it's been a success.
There was some news that Channel 3 had paid some attention to, I think it was yesterday, maybe the day before, but over the last 2 days, this ruling on the red light cameras that came out of, I think it's Broward County, where the judge basically ruled that because there's a presumption of who's driving the car based on ownership of the car, that inverts the rebuttal presumption that you have to prove you weren't driving it instead of the police or the state attorney having to prove that you did commit the violation. I know this ruling is going to get appealed, and we don't know yet what the final disposition of all that is, but how are you guys incorporating awareness of this decision, if at all, into what you do with the red light cameras?
Yeah, and this topic's been, pretty controversial for a long time and across the nation. It's been ruled both ways in a variety of different states and areas. We have 13 red light cameras in the city, and as with anything, and just kind of in a nutshell, law enforcement is all about the game of legislature. So if something is ruled unconstitutional, we change the rules of the game and we continue to play. So this is no different. If something is ruled unconstitutional, if having these cameras is unconstitutional, we'll adjust and obviously not utilize that. Again, it's not new. This happens all the time. The same with laws regarding, maybe marijuana or firearms. They change all the time, and we adjust to the legislature, and this will be no different.
I always think, just as an aside, I always think that it's a very difficult thing to keep up with those changes. I'm sure you guys have services that provide you with the information, and attorneys, of course. But every year, the legislature does its thing, and so you have to do things differently. And I think keeping track of that is always kind of a challenge. Can you maybe, I don't know, it might be helpful for people to realize what happens when you issue a citation, because always a PPD's officer's eyes go onto the citations for the red light cameras. Is there any identification of the driver, or is it entirely based on the car and the license plate? Like, how does that work, especially when the owner of the car says, that wasn't me driving my car, it was so-and-so? Can you walk us through that a little bit?
Yeah, so it does, the system does look at the registered vehicle and then the registered owner. It does not focus on the driver of the vehicle.
Okay.
It is solely based on the registered owner of the vehicle, based on the license plate. You know, that's where it lies as being controversial. But it is civil. It's not criminal in nature. It's a civil system in line with this. But, it is specific to the registered owner, not who is driving.
Okay. And so if somebody challenges that, and I know the challenges have been very limited. In fact, I'm not even sure. Has there even been a successful challenge yet against one of these citations here in Pensacola?
That I don't know. I do know that it has been minimal. I think there's been more since it was last reported on, maybe by very few numbers, but still, very low. Usually that is the argument from people. That is right. The argument is that they were not driving. And again, the way that the law reads is that the responsibility falls on the registrar of the vehicle.
Okay. And then, so as the law is written right now, that's essentially irrelevant. It's the registered owner that's responsible for the operation of the vehicle. So that makes sense legally. That's how. What the question, of course, is how that might change and then what you guys might do to adapt. And, you know, you may have to adapt, and I mean, so we will. We're talking to Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon. She is the Assistant Public Information Officer, PPD. Hang on for just a second, Brittany. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Drainall, your one-stop shop for all your drain cleaning needs in Pensacola. Call Drainall and get your drains flowing again. Taking a look at the big board, just a new vehicle crash to report here. North Davis Highway at North Cross Lane. And a roadblock associated with that. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Back to Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon with PPD. Tonight, City Council is going to vote on the agreement, the memorandum of understanding with FDOT to finally put in place a graffiti bridge warning system on the southbound approach and the northbound approach with those kind of, you know, garage door infrared sensors and a bunch of lights and all of that. Obviously, the legislature will do what it does, and you will do whatever they allow you to do and whatever. But can you just maybe talk for a second? Because I know people have been raising eyebrows about the cost of $300,000. But to me, the cost is what we have right now and how many man hours or woman hours. And just generally speaking, the difficulty of dealing with that and how it impacts PPD's capabilities. Can you just talk about some of that issue?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's no secret that this is a regular occurrence. It's kind of been made humorous on social media. You know, I think there's a page dedicated to when this happens to make sure that these crashes are, discussed and laughed at. And weekly we're going out to these crashes and they happen. And, of course, it's, you know, the bridge, end quote, always wins, but at some point, you know, there is some sort of responsibility to figure out maybe what's the solution to this and how long is that bridge going to be able to withstand that? Even with the inspections of the bridge, you know, you're taking a chance of just this reoccurring impact on this bridge. So I would say, you know, city engineers have worked to establish, you know, implementing this infrared system and what it would entail. And it sounds like, you know, it'll measure vehicles and it's been successful in other areas of Florida, and you know, hopefully we can limit property damage and you know, the monetary impact that comes from that. I mean, we get a lot of box trucks and even utility trucks that are very, very expensive.
Yeah.
And RVs, and this would come from the local option sales tax, is where this money would be, from my understanding, you know, to pay for the system. Because this is a safety issue. People are also out there when they're expressing their artistic abilities and they're out there painting the bridge and these crashes happen. It can be dangerous. It also can cause another crash, you know, from the debris or, it is an issue overall. And I think that, you know, the city is just trying to figure out, you know, a solution to it because over time, there's, you know, we feel impelled that there's some sort of responsibility that may lie with trying to figure out a solution to fix it.
Fair to say PPD wants to see fewer crashes in general, less property damage, less life and limb damage, and the more we can make the whole community, including Graffiti Bridge and 17th Avenue, safe, the better. I mean, that's what you guys would celebrate. Last thing, sad note, really, really sad note, is canine officer Jet wound up passing away. He was the bomb sniffer up at the airport, and a really sudden illness. His handler took him, you know, to the doctor and the vet, and they said go to New Orleans, and they did. And, you know, I mean, a lump that grew very quickly and then a second lump that grew very quickly, and they still don't seem to really know, unless you know something, that what happened. But just an awful development.
Yeah, I mean, that's it exactly. I mean, in short, really, time just ran out. It was very sudden and unexpected. You know, Officer Heron, his handler, you know, his handler at the best that you can imagine. I would say he finds comfort in that, you know, Canine Jet is not suffering anymore. But it was a very quick, sudden suffering. The lumps formed. It was at a rapid speed. The second, once he got to the New Orleans, they discovered a second lump in his neck. I mean, and it was causing some labored breathing. He did pass away a short time, you know, there in New Orleans with Officer Heron, and he had some family by his side too. But, you know, tests were ran on what they could, and they came back inconclusive. It was just very rapid and fast. You know, they did everything they could, and again, it was just very unexpected for us. I would say that, you know, Officer Heron does seem to have a really good support system with his airport community, and obviously the Pensacola Police Department and the outreach of the community expressing their concern. So really appreciated the support. It's been difficult for us, and then in general just not having answers that we need.
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, actually Officer Heron had sent me a note about this, and, you know, appreciated the concern, and, you know, it was clear how distressed he was and how difficult this is to deal with. And I just think, you know, probably the whole agency, you correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, it's a very sad time for the agency right now, because, you know, you guys all love each other, and y'all, you know, you love your dogs, and they're key parts of the team, and especially the ones, you know, like, he's a friendly one, you know, he's not a be careful, he might bite you kind of one, you know, so just it's, you know, just
for sure,
a very, very discouraging moment to have that happen. But also, you know, nice that we have a community that supports and, you know, a team that supports. And, you know, like you said, there's the resources. Sergeant Brittany Sturgeon, she is the Pensacola Police Department Assistant Public Information Officer. Brittany, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for what you do. I appreciate you being with us today, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Y'all be safe.
Absolutely. 751 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Spring is here. Oh, yeah. And it's time to warm things up with the new slow smoke menu at Sonny's Barbecue. Whether it's our brisket grilled cheese, the hot link loaded mac, or the amazing new peach cobbler egg rolls, you're sure to love them. Maybe you're throwing a party and need some barbecue catered. We can help with that. Whether you're picking up, need it delivered, or a team to come out and serve. With four locations in the News Radio area, visit sunnysbbq.com to learn more or order today. And remember, it's always Sonny's here.
Cat Country 98.7 Spring Jam 2026, Sunday, March 22nd, on the beach behind Juana's Pagodas and Sailor's Grill in Navarre. Enjoy the sun, sand, and low cash. With special guests Preston Cooper and John Morgan, with proceeds benefiting the Santa Rosa Kids House. Buy your tickets only at catcountry987.com.
Hi, this is Terrence A. Gross. Did you know that Florida recently passed a major tort reform package? The legislature reduced Florida's general injury statute of limitations from 4 years to 2 years. They limited attorney's fees and homeowners' lawsuits, which could adversely affect homeowners. For any injury claim, call me, Terrence A. Gross, at 850-434-3333 or visit us on the web at grossandschuster.com.
The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, weekdays 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. You're Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. So that's what you call me.
Good morning, 752 here on News Radio 92.3. How'd you do in the storms this morning? I slipped right through it. I didn't, you know, there's lingering effects, and I'm sure in some places, my God, I'm from Illinois, and in Kankakee, they had 9-inch hail. A particular piece of nine inches? Oh, my God. I mean, they had regular 6-inch hail. It's crazy. It was also kind of funny trying to listen to the national news anchors butcher Kankakee all day yesterday. Kanopke, Kanurkani. I don't know. I heard all kinds of things yesterday. It's just like it's spelled. It's a very simple one. Just because it's a Native American name doesn't mean it's hard to say. 437-1620, that is my phone number. If you are thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, you know, they do great. And, you know, one of the things that they do so well with people, it's not just the selling and the closing and the showing and the staging and photographing and all that kind of stuff, but also on the front end talking to you as a client. You know, they're really emphatic about setting clear expectations. Because, you know, one of the reasons a lot of times that these deals, you know, that things fail for realtors is because, you know, clients with a home have an unrealistic expectation what's going to happen. The realtor maybe doesn't do enough transactions to feel comfortable saying no to a client or, telling them something. And so you don't correct that. Well, then, you know, unrealistic expectations become failure to satisfy those and you get disappointed and things don't go right. Well, if you start off saying, you know what, honestly, I know you think your home's worth $570, but I'm telling you that I think we can get $550 for it. You know, you got to be willing to say that. By the way, on the other hand, sometimes you got to tell people, hey, I think we can actually do better than that. You know, there was one story Christina was telling me about how a former realtor who couldn't sell a house at $499 told her it was worth $499. She's like, okay. So she listed it at $625, closed in 10 days, or, you know, got it sold in 10 days for cash. So you just, it's all that market knowledge and also setting realistic expectations with people. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 786-3996. PJ's got traffic on the fives.
Traffic's brought to you by Florida West EDA. Economic development's all about building our economy for our current and future residents. Presented by Florida West Economic Development Alliance. Taking a look at the big board here, we still have that vehicle crash. Highway 97 at Effie Lane in Molino. They're saying the roadway's still blocked there. The front gate of NES Pensacola also backed up to Central Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. Iran is warning that oil prices could hit $200 a barrel as the war with the U.S. and Israel continues. Of course, oil prices up in early trading this morning as news of oil tankers coming under suspected Iranian attack in the Strait of Hormuz broke yesterday. Prices spiked briefly again over $100 a barrel before dropping back down into the 90s. Two new polls say Americans are now rationing medicine and postponing retirement so they can afford health care. About one-third of the adults who responded to the new Gallup poll said they had to make compromises to afford health care, including rationing their medicine. In a second poll, about 1 in 10 adults say they put off retiring. And Ozzy Osbourne's granddaughter being named after him. Yesterday, Jack Osbourne posted a video on Instagram of the new baby girl that he and his wife, Ari Gearhart, welcomed last week. The 7-pound girl was named Ozzy Matilda Osbourne.
All right, very good, David. By the way, David, have you seen any of the released footage from the cockpits of the Apaches for the UAE pilots shooting down the Shahed drones? Have you seen this?
Not yet, but it sounds like I need to look that up.
Yeah, they put out about a 30-second video, and, so the Apache, this amazing gunship, and it's got the single-barrel 30-millimeter cannon, so if you think about, like, the Galway, basically the gun that they built the A-10 around, is, you know, 7 barrels, okay? And then the Apache has a single barrel, and that's the one where, you know, the pilots look and the gun moves with them, and basically they, you know, the gun targets wherever your eyes are, wherever the helmet's going. So they released this video yesterday, and it, you know, some folks that know these things certainly better than I do have listened to it and said, no, that all looks pretty authentic. They're shooting down these fairly slow-moving Shahed drones, the ones that they've built, you know, hundreds or thousands of. But it's Apaches, American AH-64s, being used by, you know, the UAE to defend against the drones. Here's what it sounds like.
Destroyed.
Target destroyed. These are several different incidents. And you can kind of see in the video, these little black, they look black on the screen because it's a, you know, a FLIR, it's an infrared. And so it doesn't carry any heat. And it's not like tracers because you don't use tracers on this particular gun. They don't need to. But you watch, you know, 6 or 7 shots go, and then you just see the drone spin out of control. And they're not, you know how they were talking about anti-drone ammunition that would explode, you know, proximity fuses or whatever. They're not those. They're just standard old bullets. But a 30-millimeter, you know, I mean, that's a inch and a half wide bullet, you know, not quite. And, you know, that's going to rip right through the wing and destroy it. And so several of these things.
Target destroyed.
Target destroyed, sir.
Target destroyed. Target destroyed. Target destroyed.
So I don't know. I love watching.
Be a good alarm clock sound, wouldn't it?
I know. It's like that should be your text tone.
Little adrenaline rush when you wake up in the morning.
That's right. Anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of that as your military background, David. Thanks so much for the update. By the way, in case you're wondering, it sounds like a pretty slow gun, and it is. It's a single barrel. The Apache M230 is about 625 rounds per minute, and it's relatively slow for a gun. That's what it sounds like on an extended burst. They just use the short burst, which is pretty normal for fighting against tanks or, in this case, against drones. For comparison, the Gaoei, which is this gun that the A-10 shoots, that's the seven-barrel Vulcan cannon. I mean, it might not be a Vulcan, but it's the Gaoei is the name. But this is the one that shoots about 3,900 rounds per minute. It's a little different sound. I will take any opportunity I ever have to play that sound. It's actually kind of cool because when you see the burst that they usually fire it, and then about a second or two later, you hear the sounds on the ground. That's the A-10, which we're using again, apparently. Don't retire them yet. It's a great platform. We'll be back in just a minute.
You're listening to...